Right, our reading today is on page 398 in the Bibles in front of you. It's reading from 2 Kings, and I'm reading chapter 24, verse 20, through to chapter 25, verse 12. That's page 398. It was because of the Lord's anger that all this happened to Jerusalem and Judah, and in the end he thrust them from his presence. Now Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the tenth day of the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. He encamped outside the city and built siege works all around it. The city was kept under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine in the city had become so severe that there was no food for the people to eat. Then the city walls broken through, and the whole army fled at night through the gate between the two walls near the king's garden, through the Babylonians were surrounding the city. They fled towards Arabah. But the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Then they put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. On the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile the people who remained in the city, along with the rest of the populace and those who had gone over to the king of Babylon. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people of the land to work the vineyards and fields. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Really looking forward to Christmas. Santa might not visit naughty boys. And who's not really looking forward to Christmas at all? Oh, that's good. So the rest of you, presumably, you'll get there by Christmas morning. You know, it's just take a little while to get there. But we need to remind ourselves on why Christmas in the first place. Why did Christmas have to happen? And that reading that we heard, believe it or not, gives us a very big clue as to why Christmas. It must be one of the grimmest passages in the Bible. If you want to follow it, we were on page 398. It must be a real, real low point. It's certainly not full of Christmas cheer, is it? We might only be on page 398 out of 962 in the Old Testament. But we seem to have reached the end of the story as far as Israel as a nation is concerned. And it ends in disaster as Jerusalem is turned to rubble. It ends in disarray as most of the people are carried off captives to Babylon, nearly 1,000 miles away to the east. The story of the people of Israel, the people of God as a nation that's run continuously from the beginning of Genesis, well, almost the beginning, chapter 12 of Genesis, through to here, ends here. That's the end. We've had 1,000 years or more of continuous story, and then this is the end of the line. It's like a very long-running soap opera finally coming to the end. I don't know. Stick your hand up if you follow a soap opera or listen to a soap opera. I do not believe. Yeah, come on. And the rest. Will there be some more people on the naughty step by the end of the year? In our reading, we heard about what's effectively the final episode of the final season of a very long-running soap opera, a soap opera called The Israelites, the everyday tale of God's folk, if you like. Each season of the story so far has ended on a pretty grim note, because Israel just lurches from trouble to trouble. But this season ends in total disaster. By the end of the chapter, Jerusalem is toast. Judah is history. Imagine your favourite soap. Some of you are going to find that hard because you don't watch soaps, of course. Imagine your favourite soap coming to what seems to be the end. And the ending, it just leaves you shell-shocked. Surely it can't end like that. Surely it can't be that bad. Cast your eyes up to the top left-hand corner of that page, where verse 4 of chapter 24 has one of the saddest verses in the Old Testament, because it finishes, "The Lord was not willing to forgive." The Lord was not willing to forgive. It's frightening. Israel had pushed God's love to the limit just one time too many. And the God we know of as a forgiving God is no longer willing to forgive. And where our reading started, verse 20 says, "In the end, he thrust his people from his presence." Away with you. The Lord's had enough of Israel. That's it. You know, sin matters to God. Sin matters. It has its consequences. And so God thrusts his sinful people away from his presence, away from the temple, away from Jerusalem, away from their land. They were just not capable of obeying God's law. They were not capable of living lives that pleased God. As we had in our reading, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they kept running after other gods. So God thrust them from his presence. He punished them with exile in Babylon. And they were to spend the next 70 years on the naughty step. 70 years in captivity.
It's a long talk.
Who said we'll let you go at the end of the talk? But before we get too smug, you know, we're just as bad, aren't we? On our own, we are not capable of living lives that please God. We too have run after other gods. The God of a comfortable life. The God of self-sufficiency. The God of prosperity. We're in just as much trouble with God as the Israelites were. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? From one generation to the next, we keep rebelling against God. And yet there was one glimmer of hope, one ray of hope in the darkness, and it came from a prophet, and it went something like this. Who would be a prophet? Isaiah prophesied the coming of a Messiah, and he prophesied that prophecy 150 years before Israel went into exile. In the midst of the darkness, there was hope. We often hear Isaiah's prophecy read at a carol service. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. Yeah, Christmas is coming. Because Jesus is coming to rescue all people, to rescue, yes, the Jews, the God's chosen race, but also the Gentiles, the rest of us. Because all of us are deserving of God's punishment for the way we've rejected his love. And we need the message of Christmas now just as much as they did then, because we're still a people walking in darkness, and we still need light, and that light is Jesus. The Jews will spend the next 70 years on the naughty step. But even then, they will not have learnt their lesson. As we'll see next week, they slowly, at the end of that time, drift back to the promised land. But it would still be another 600 years before Jesus came. The other day, Helen and I watched the film Mandela, The Long Walk to Freedom. And there's a clip of Desmond Tutu at a rally saying, South Africa needs Nelson Mandela. The world needs Nelson Mandela. Well, this passage shouts very loud to us. Israel needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Thank God that Christmas is coming. Because without Christmas, there would be no Saviour. We will be lost forever on God's naughty step, thrust from his presence. Whereas in Jesus, God welcomes us and embraces us. So let's take every opportunity we've got this season to point others to the real meaning of Christmas. You know, behind the excuse for a party, to the real reason for the season. Today, as Karen reminded us at the beginning, is Advent Sunday. It's the beginning of a season that has twin foci, if you like. It's the beginning of the time when we look forward to Jesus' first coming. And if you were here last week, I wonder if you've taken up Fiona's challenge on the Bible Society website to join in their Advent challenge over the next 4 weeks. But also in Advent, we look forward to the return of Jesus at the end of the age, because this soap opera that we're all part of, this soap opera called life, will one day come to an end. And we want to be sure that all who can will be part of its sequel. Let's pray.